Living the Unique Lifestyle is a commitment to uplifting, empowering, and validating women everywhere. It's devoting yourself to helping a global family of women realize their potential for personal growth and financial reward. Together, we make a beautiful team. Are you ready to live unique? Visit LaceyDrawers.com and click on Unique by Renee. Hi, I'm Lacey Drawers, and I am not Nina Flowers.
Hi, I'm Lexi Diamond, and I'm not Nina Flowers.
And this is We Are Not Nina Flowers. Hello, Lexi.
Hello, Lacey.
How's it going?
Good. How's it going
with you? Good.
Good.
All right, let's just jump right into what's new.
What's new?
So I was on cyberspace last night, and I saw these two things that I found interesting. One of them was hilarious to me, but apparently this guy went viral online.
They have a pill for that.
What's that?
They have a pill for that now.
For viral.
Going viral.
Ew. It took me a second. No, but he went viral online because he was doing, the Wheel of Fortune or whatever? Where it's that lady who had has to press on the screen.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it is.
Wheel of Fortune, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not 70 years old.
Well, there was a car and then N-A blank E-D and then desire as what was up on the screen. So that was pretty easy to figure out. So what was it? If it was a car, N-A blank.
Like a streetcar named Desire?
Streetcar named Desire. Exactly. It was a streetcar. Well, he spun the thing and decided to go with K instead of M. So a streetcar naked desire is what he got. And people who posted this were losing their shit. And I was watching this this fucking idiot. I don't blame him. I would like to see that. But I'm just saying.
A streetcar naked?
Desire, yeah.
Okay. All right.
It's interesting. I just thought it was funny. I was like, dude, I know where your mind's at.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a perv.
Also, on the sadder end of things, there's an update on Kesha's lawsuit with her producer.
Yeah.
And it's not going well for her. So that super sucks with her. Apparently, according to the judge, they denied her once again with this new court case, which is the same thing but different. Because they modified a few things, and basically he denied her any kind of music production outside of her label because she didn't actually do what was in her contract to begin with.
Right.
Which is stupid because she's trying to get out of it because of what happened with her producer. For those of you who don't know, she was actually verbally and sexually abused by her producer.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yes. And so, to me, if this is true, which I mean, I don't know Kesha personally, but I believe her, And
they
so if this
too,
is
yeah.
true, why would you want to keep working with a person who, sexually assaulted you?
Well, because we live in a patriarchy where men control everything.
What about you? What's new with you, Lace?
I'm sick.
Oh.
Pretty sick.
I was wondering why you were all irritable and not talking.
Yeah, I went to the ER on Saturday. I had to leave work early. I went to urgent care and sat there for an hour just to have the guy walk in and 2 seconds later say, I don't know what to do for you. You need to go to the emergency room. And annoying is that I should have trusted my gut. The night before, I was telling myself, I should go to the emergency room. I need to go to the emergency room. I was Googling, when should I go to the emergency room? Just so I could, I didn't want to waste somebody's time or resources over something silly, right? I just felt like I had bronchitis, but the fact is that I was coughing up blood and passing out.
What? Why would you not go to the emergency room for that?
I know, because I'm an idiot. I didn't trust my own gut. So I went
literally
went to work, passed out at work, was coughing up blood again, was super dizzy. And I was I'm gonna go to the emergency room. I have to leave work early. I'm sorry. Left and I found an urgent care open and went there instead because I'm an idiot. So I'm into the emergency room. I haven't been to the emergency room in a long time. Let me tell you, when I do something, I go big or I go home. So bronchitis is going around again. got that. Congratulations to me. Also, it's a warm, beautiful day here in Denver and not snowing like it should be. So things are blooming, and now I have a sinus infection on top of the bronchitis. On top of that, I have a cold, which is why I'm achy, because neither the bronchitis or the sinus infection will give you aches. And they did a chest scan and found a blood clot in my lung. All of this because I quit smoking.
Because you quit smoking?
Because I quit smoking. Because I've been smoking for almost 20 years. And so my lungs developed with me smoking. And me coughing so much, which is what happens when you quit smoking. The smokers cough, right? You get rid of it. You're getting rid of all that crap in your lungs. Well, my lungs had developed with me smoking, and I developed a blood clot because I was coughing so hard. So now I'm on a whole bunch of different medications. Oh, I've got a steroid inhaler. Yeah. Which is going to lead us into what grinds my gears.
What grinds my gears?
Here's what annoys me. People that don't go to the doctor. And I am one of those people, and I feel that men in general do not go to the doctor as often as women do. I didn't have a primary care position until I applied for RuPaul's Drag Race, and it was required. I just don't go to the doctor.
Interesting.
And I feel like most men don't. And men need to go at least once a year.
I know. You know what's funny is that I get annoyed with people like that too, but if I think about it, I'm one of those people as well, where it's like, I don't know if I have enough money to pay for the copay right now. Like, it's just an
Well, and I say that too. I'm like, if you're over 40, you need to go in and get your prostate checked. My dad was just diagnosed with prostate cancer. He's got surgery on May 1st to remove his prostate. And my uncle had prostate cancer. My sister had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. My mom had a scare with breast cancer. My grandmother's having problems with her lungs and her brain. Like, it's not a matter of if I get cancer, I'm going to get cancer. But that's why I quit smoking, is I didn't want to expedite that process, right?
Right.
And I don't know why I just haven't gone to the doctor. Like, why was that such a chore for me? I go to my doctor. I like my doctor. She's really cool. I don't know why I don't go.
Because it's you running the risk of finding out that there's something wrong with you. This is how I see it. This is how I see that other people see it. Because this isn't necessarily how I see it. But if you're going to the doctor, you're running a risk of them telling you, oh, you have a terminal disease. Or, oh, you have to do this and you have to do that. Like, changing... You getting that kind of reality check could totally shake everything about your life. And people don't want that kind of change, you know?
Agreed.
So I don't see why...
But it's just men, because women have probably that same fear that they don't want to go, but they have to go get pap smears. Like, they have to go get mammographies. Girls, you need to check your boobs. Guys, you need to check your balls.
Yeah, you do. My grandma's like that, though. I think it's old school women, because my grandma's like, didn't want to get her mammography done. And she's like, I don't want a doctor all up in my vagina. I'm like, Grandma, like, you're not going to make babies anymore. You're too old. Like, they just need to make sure you're fine. Like, what the fuck? She did the same thing. Like, it was the exact same thought process of like, oh, I don't want, no, because then they say I have something and I don't really have it. And I'm like, Grandma.
No, I agree. It's annoying. I wish people would go to the doctor more often. I think you and I both need to go to the doctor.
That's included. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I need to go because I obviously just had all of this stuff happen at the emergency room, and I need to go check in with my primary care, one, so that it's on a file of some sort, and two, so she can follow up, make sure everything is working and healing and doing what it's supposed to.
What do you think about people who don't have insurance now?
Well, I mean, thanks to Trump, we're about to get a lot more people without insurance.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks. It's really hard, and I understand if you don't. That's why we want to apparently kill poor people, because you can't afford insurance, so we don't give a shit about you if you're a Republican. That's a shame.
Well, I don't think... I'm going to be the devil's advocate here. I'm not saying that Republicans are devils or anything, but I don't think Trump really represents what a Republican is.
Agreed, but Paul Ryan does, and he's the one that is proposing this.
Yeah, Paul Ryan is also a crazy motherfucker.
Like, he also looks like the grandpa from the Munsters.
Paul Ryan, like anyone in the Trump administration, now that we're talking about this, anyone in the Trump administration is batshit crazy because Trump put them in place.
Right.
Like, if they just listen and, like, do what he says, and you know what you're in. You know what you're gonna be, this person.
Right.
Secretary of Education, even though you don't know how to fucking compose a sentence. Like, it's fucking stupid.
Do you know what else like grinds my gears, Miss Lexi? I was listening to Pandora Box's show, her podcast, and she does something too similar to what grinds my gears. She calls sitting and bitching. And she does the same thing, things that annoy the fuck out of her, right?
That's, I fucking love it.
And she was talking about how she gets really annoyed with people that go live on Facebook and put, I do not own the rights to this music. And I was like, Pandora, that's such a silly thing to be upset about.
Right.
Then I got on Facebook and realized how many people do it. And now it's annoying me. Every time I see it, I'm like, it doesn't fucking matter. You're playing music that doesn't belong to you. Facebook can take it down. Just because you say you don't own the rights doesn't mean that you have the right to play it.
Right. Or just don't play music. Like, if you're that's where I come from in the similar aspect. It's like, if you're going to do that and you're going to go live, you want people to watch you, and you want to interact with people, why the fuck would you have music on in the background?
I mean, I guess it would be different if you're, like, at a club. If you're already at a show, you're trying to get people to come down, and there's music playing in the background. I get that. But when you are just sitting there painting your face, like, one, I don't want to watch you. Sorry, you're boring. And I know that because I've done it. I'm like, why am I doing this? Okay, there's 12 people watching me. I am trying to do eyeliner. And I'm like, oh, yeah, hi, I see you. Like, if you want to talk to me, call me. Like,
right.
Message me on Facebook.
Come see me at a fucking show.
Right. I just get really annoyed. I don't want to watch people do their fucking makeup.
That's what fucking grinds my gears. Is, oh, yeah, I'll go watch you. Just let me know. And I fucking let you know. And, oh, I have this. Or, you know what? I can't make it. And it's like, why the fuck would you tell me to invite you if you can't even fucking make it?
Right.
You're not going to make the time to come see me. Like,
exactly. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to move into our main discussion for the week. We'll be right back.
With the Step It Up March customer kudos, the more you get, the more we give. With the launch of our newest products, how can you resist? Whether you're making a $75, $125, or $175 purchase, you'll be rewarded with phenomenal free gifts. Visit LaceyDoors.com and click on Unique by Renee. March customer kudos runs until March 31st, 2017. While supplies last, some exclusions apply.
And we're back!
And we're back!
Yay! Lexi, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about every season's first eliminated queen.
Yay!
Dun, dun, dun!
And we decided to do it now because we are 2 days away from the season 9 premiere.
Yes.
And no one's getting eliminated.
Right! Did you see that?
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? Like, she's doing something.
Oh,
she's
always
up to something. And I feel like, I don't know if someone is going to get eliminated or if she's just like leading them on. And then the next episode, she's going to be like, just kidding. Like, four of you are getting eliminated.
Right. Well, she did something similar with All Stars where she's like, I'm not eliminating anybody. Cut. And then you wait 2 weeks and you come back and then it's like, because you're doing it.
Can you imagine making that decision? That would suck so bad.
Right?
And then like all these people are your friends and shit. Like, fuck, that's when the snakes come out. Like,
right?
Holy fuck.
But hey, anyway, they win All Stars.
So we're gonna start season one. Season one, who was our first eliminated queen was...
Hey, Porkchop.
Victoria Porkchop Parker. So I have a few facts here about her. So,
I love Porkchop.
She's such a sweetheart. I feel like if she was like an actual woman, like she'd be like one of my aunts. And she'd be the one who travels the world and buys me shit from like Europe and brings it back. Like, she's so sweet. So she was sent home by Akasha that season.
Yes.
She was put in the bottom two because of her ill-constructed dress. And I feel for her so bad because at that point, I'm like, bitch, like I don't know how to sew either. Like, I feel for you. I'm so sorry, girl. Interesting fact about her though, she was doing a gig back in the 1980s and she got acid thrown on her face.
Oh my god.
Which is why she has that slight deformity like right in the middle of her face.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Yep. She talked about it on season one and there's... She talks about it on season one and then there's a little bit more stuff for you to like research online where she talks about it in a few other interviews, but fucking hero. Like...
Well, and she's like, she is part of Drag Race history. As the first queen ever eliminated and didn't give up.
Yeah.
She's still doing drag. She still does pageants. Did you watch Pageant?
Yeah.
She was in there.
Yes, she was.
She fucking rocked it.
She's won, I think on her page that I was looking her up on, she's competed in more than 100 different pageants. and she's probably won about 40% of them. Some of them on a national level, sure. Others are local, but she's a fucking pageant queen, bitch.
Yes.
Like, wow. Yes, bitch, give it to me. I would love to work with her.
Me too.
Sometime. That would be fucking dope. So, Victoria Porkchop Parker. That's kind of a tongue twister, isn't it?
Victoria Porkchop Parker.
Parker. What's one thing that you think would have kept her on if we would have given her more of a chance?
Well, I don't know. Season one was always... It's very difficult because they really had no idea what was happening.
Yeah.
And it was like filmed in RuPaul's garage with Vaseline on the camera.
That's the filter.
Right. And it's really hard because I can't go back and rewatch that episode because they don't have the copyrights for it, so they can't air those episodes.
They can't air those episodes anymore?
Uh-uh. It's the lost season because they can't air it because they don't have the copyrights for the lip sync songs. So I've seen season one once. So, I don't know, to be honest, what could have saved her.
She's a theater queen. Yeah. And she's really talented. She knows how to sing. She knows how to act. So, I feel like if we would have given her more of an opportunity, we would have seen more of her acting skills. And I really would have seen to, like, I would have loved to see her sing on the show. I think that would have been a nice treat.
Yeah.
Especially considering how heavily that seems to come up throughout different seasons, you know?
Yeah.
So, that would have been a nice treat, but...
But, I mean, really, they had no idea. Like, now, you know that the first episode is going to be a sewing challenge.
Right.
Like, you know that.
You know there's going to be a photo shoot.
Right.
Mini challenge. You know that there's going to be Snatch Game eventually in the game.
You just know these things, and you prepare for them differently. They didn't know anything.
They were
not, like, secluded like everyone else. Like, they would go out. Like, they were still working. Everybody knows who Porkchop is, though, so...
That's for sure, yes.
Did she lose? No.
No, hell no. So season two is a little weird, and I'll explain that in a bit, but the first eliminated queen was Shangela Laquitha Wadland.
Never heard of her.
Really?
I don't even know her. No, I fucking love Shangela.
So a few things about her. She was the only queen to be invited for two seasons of RuPaul's Drag Race, not including any of the All-Stars. So, like, actual seasons that don't include any of the All-Stars, she's the only queen that's ever been invited back to do two seasons, which is exactly why I said this was weird, because I don't know if we should consider her the first eliminated queen if she ends up coming back.
So she was the first eliminated of second, but because she came back from third, do you think we should talk about the second eliminated queen?
I think we should bring her up.
All right.
Especially considering the fact that I don't particularly like her. I don't like how she was portrayed on TV. And I don't know. I mean, obviously, editing is fucking everything.
Right.
And really not at the same time. But Nicole Paige Brooks.
Nicole Paige Brooks.
Was fucking annoying.
Where is she from?
She's from Atlanta.
Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta, Georgia. She has interesting facts about her, though. She does have a child. She does have a son. And she talked about him a lot during her season. The impression I got from her was that she was extremely horny all the time, and she was hitting on Raven a lot, and Raven was a complete bitch to her, and I think that's part of the reason why I originally ended up falling in love with Raven, because I was like, you're being such a bitch, and I love it.
All right.
And ironically enough, Raven was the one who sent her home. So,
truth.
Yas, queen.
Yeah.
She also got caught with narcotics not too long ago. So that was up on social media. I thought that was really funny. So season three, first eliminated queen was Venus Delight. Do you remember Venus?
She the Madonna impersonator?
Yes.
Okay.
She's the Madonna impersonator. She was actually, and interestingly enough, I think this is the only season they did this on, but they had open call auditions in LA. And Delta Work and Venus Delight were the two that they picked out from open calls. So that was interesting because that's how she made it on the show. She was the first one to be eliminated. And then a big reason why she was eliminated is because this is the first time we ever saw some kind of aggression during the lip sync. Because Venus was really aggressive about her trying to get in front of Shangela. Because this is back when Shangela was brought back for season 3.
Right.
And so she
out
was
of
like,
box.
Out of the box, exactly.
Right.
And so she was like trying to like push herself in front of her and like push her aside to try to get the attention.
Right.
And nobody likes an aggressive queen. Like,
right.
Also, the only thing that the judges commented on that they liked was a ponytail, and they hated everything else. Remember, this was the Christmas Couture episode. So this was an episode right. where she was like crushing, I think it was her and Phoenix, where they were like crushing like ornaments and like right. sticking it on the thing, which I thought was a great idea, right. but she just didn't pull it off. She's, apart from her being a Madonna impersonator, she's also a really big fan of Marilyn Monroe. And interesting fact, her first time ever performing in drag was as Marilyn Monroe on her 40th anniversary.
Which is, I mean, it makes sense because Madonna has also been a Marilyn impersonator.
She has. So she's just obsessed with Madonna. Yeah.
But what's funny is, like, out of drag, I don't think she looks anything like Madonna. Even with all the work, I'm like, I just don't see it.
Yep.
And then she paints, and I'm like, I see it.
I see everything.
Everything. It totally makes sense. She is a master of the paintbrush.
Cool. We're going to move on to season 4. I was really mad about this. I was, like, obsessed with Alyssa Summers when the promo vids came out. Again, fishy queen. I was completely like, I want to be this bitch. Like, fucking obsessed. She got eliminated first. We didn't get to see almost anything from her besides her pretty face and her fucking breastplate.
With tulle on her areola.
Well, it was a look.
If that's what she was going for, she did it great. But it looked ridiculous. And that's standing next to Jiggly, who looked like a fucking baked potato.
Which she actually said. Alyssa said, you about ready to bake at 350 degrees, bitch. Like, she was the one who said that. So I thought that was super ironic because she ended up getting sent home by her, but that's a whole nother story. I was just super mad that we didn't get to see more of her. I was totally into her.
Here's the thing. I don't think the tulle on the areola was the breaking point. It was everybody else looked like the world had just ended and they were gathering everything they could to create something couture. She did not. She looked like she found something and just put it on and then glued the tool to her area.
Well,
she didn't look dirty. Everyone else looked dirty. Like dead. The world just fucking ended.
Yeah. I think she
was eliminated.
Me being the fan that I am, I will admit that was fucking, that was a shit show.
Because at least, I mean, Jiggly did not look good, but at least she looked like she was gathering supplies. After that's what everybody looked like Fifi's look was my favorite.
Yes,
I tried to recreate that, like the scratch marks on the face. It was my favorite. I thought Sharon's was cool, but like looking back now that I know Sharon, I'm like, that was kind of safe. When you don't know Sharon, it was like, holy
it was,
shit.
Well, yeah, because it was revolutionary, because that's a type of drag we hadn't seen right. at that point. It right. was something that was completely new to most of us. And so that's part of the reason why she basically sweeped the floor with the mother bitches.
Yeah.
I agree with you. My favorite from that was La Champions. Because it still looked, yep, with the big, because it yeah. still looked editorial without it looking too pretty. You know what I'm saying?
And yeah, but she, I mean, she didn't look super dirty.
No.
But she still looked like she was trying to hunt and gather. That's the thing about post-apocalyptic, is that what she said?
Post-apocalyptic? Yeah.
Post-apocalyptic is that it should look like the world has reset and we're back to a hunter-gatherer society. Everything's gone. The world's been destroyed. Alyssa looks like she still went to H&M, found some stuff, cut some holes in it, where LaShawn looked like she was pillaging, trying to create something because she wanted to look pretty in all of this dirt.
Yeah. I fucking love it, though. Interesting fact about Alyssa, she's the only Latin queen to come in last place.
Why gotta be Hispanic?
Why? I know. I was like, why is that a fucking... Why is that a fact on this website? I felt victimized here because I'm a Latin queen. Fuck you.
You are?
Jiggly Clancy sent her home. And she actually... It's funny because I look at her Facebook and she almost seems like she's turned back into a local queen.
Alyssa,
because she's got like flyers... Like most queens do on their Facebook, like when they're trying to promote events and stuff. But it seems like it's all in the same area. She doesn't really go outside of Florida.
Well, you have to know how to work. When you are on Drag Race, here's my thoughts. You have a very limited time to make a name for yourself or you're done. You have that time in between when they announce the cast to when it airs. That's when you really have to push big. Because they don't know yet if you're the first one sent home. So you have to push really big. Then as it's airing, you need to be visible every single viewing. And then you need a manager as soon as you are eliminated from Drag Race. You need merch before you even go on Drag Race. You need a Twitter, you need an Instagram, you need a Facebook. You have to know how to do social media. You've got a very limited time. And season four, it was the first time things were kind of mixed up a little bit. And so Alyssa didn't jump on it in time and she's lost it. She's not gonna be able to regain it.
The thing that she does have going for her is there's this place called Honey Pot out in Florida that's like a club. And she's basically like the main host, the main like event.
Sure. I mean, look at India Farah. She has a gig all the time at Piranha's in Las Vegas. But Chanel's there now, and Chanel really worked it, where India did not. So now it's Chanel's illusion with India Farah.
Gotcha.
You know?
That kind of sucks.
And I mean, look at Tatiana. Tatiana was kind of done. She didn't do it right either. And some of the queens did, some of them just didn't, right? And if Tatiana had not been on All Stars, she probably still would not be.
And I still would have been mad about that. We're gonna be moving on to our season 5 queen. I fucking love this name, by the way. Penetratia.
Here's my favorite part about Penetratia. When she was the fan vote.
She was voted on by fans.
But here's my favorite part, right? They had to make that dress. She wore that dress. It looked awful. She wore that exact dress to the reunion.
I fucking know.
But redid it. Like, had more time. It looked so good.
Her fucking makeup in the reunion was fucking everything to me.
Yes.
Because that's something you don't see in drag anymore. Because that was, like, new school and old school put together. It was high fucking drag, you know?
Yeah.
I fucking love that look. So she actually, a few facts about her. She got sued when she first started doing drag because her original name was the Drag Queen Helga. That was her name.
Huh.
And that, some fucking how, was already trademarked by another queen. And so she got a cease and desist order from the court. And I was like, what the fuck?
How funny.
Of all fucking names, the Drag Queen Helga is trademarked? Like, how the fuck does that even happen? Part of the reason why I like her so much is because she's like everyone's drag grandmother, it seems like, but she's not like overbearing about it. The number one thing, and I'm probably gonna get some shit for this for anyone who listens to me.
Yes, all 12 people.
All 12 people, right? But I have an issue with some older drag queens when they get real into themselves and real self-righteous and real, I did this for the community and this is this and that. And I'm like, well, number one, that doesn't excuse you from being fucking rude as fuck.
Right.
And number two, just because you've been in the game for so long and you know your tips and your tricks does not mean that you can go over and criticize a new form of drag and try to make them look like you or do the things that you do. That's not fucking cool. All right.
Here's a little sneak peek from my one-woman show I've been working on. Drag has been around since caveman times, and it has been evolving ever since then. I don't care how long you've been in this game, you are not entitled to anything.
Yes.
End of story.
Yes.
You want something, go out and fucking work for it. End.
End of story. With that said, Penetration seems to me like she's very knowledgeable, she knows a lot, and she's willing to share these things, but she's not like that. She's not like, you need to do this, you know? She's like, well, let me show you what I know. And like, you try to apply it if you like it.
Yeah.
And I fucking love that about her. She does a lot of YouTube videos doing that kind of stuff. And I'm like, yes, bitch, like, do a community service, bitch. Like,
yes.
I fucking love it. So she's fucking dope. She's another one I really like to work with.
I love her.
She's fucking dope, yeah. And she's really fucking funny, too.
Yeah.
Season 6.
So this is the one where we had two big openings.
Yes, we did. This is another one where I was like, this bitch is gonna take the cake, like she's gonna do so good. And I was like, Kelly Mantle, why were you the first eliminated? Like, I fucking knew who this bitch was.
It looks like bacon.
I don't know why, who the fuck doesn't like bacon though?
I don't like bacon.
You don't like bacon? But yeah, I was super disappointed. I fucking knew who this bitch was for years before I even knew what drag was.
Yeah.
So when she came on, I was like, yes, bitch, like, you're at least going to be top three. And in fact, there was a big following on social media that predicted her to be top three.
Yeah, so some of the things about her outfit, I liked the flowers. I didn't see it as bacon until someone said it.
Yeah.
Then I was like, okay, yeah, I see it. But the fact that they wouldn't, like, stop harping on it, And it was a simple gown. It was a simple skirt with a flower top. They didn't like her wig. I thought her hair looked great.
I thought it looked fine, but I do, like, that's another thing. You know how you said that it didn't look like bacon until they said it? Well, it's the same thing with her wig with me, because they were like, it's a shake and go wig. And I fucking love the wig, and then when they said shake and go wig, I was like, eh, it does kind of look low quality. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, I thought her hair, like, I liked the color. I like how it fell on her face. And then they said that, and I was like, oh, yeah. I guess it does look kind of plastic here.
Right. You didn't use baby powder on
that? Right.
Come on.
So, Kelly Mantle, though, was recently nominated for an Academy Award, right?
She was, I put here that she was eligible for both female and male Oscar award winners.
Yeah.
So she was nominated for both. And that's the first time that's ever happened in history, ever.
That's groundbreaking.
Yeah, exactly. It was fucking dope. I heard about that. That shit was, I was like, yes, Kelly. Like, you're back on my good list, bitch. Like, yes. She's also the second tallest queen right after Milk. Her being 6'3 and Milk being 6'4.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Didn't even realize that.
Milk is fucking huge.
Yeah. Interesting. So that was the first one. Then they had the second grand opening.
Which is another one I was highly disappointed in.
That was Magnolia Crawford.
Magnolia Crawford. We didn't get to see much of her. But during the promo shots, I don't know if it was just she was giving a different aesthetic or something, but I was totally living for everything that she was giving me on the promo shots. Looking back at it now and looking at the way she acted on the show, those are two completely different people. And we've talked about this before, where, like, you have to come back and do the promo shots after you've been eliminated.
Right.
So that probably explains everything to do with her acting the way that she did in the promo vids. But I investigated Magnolia before it actually aired, when they were first introduced. And I love her aesthetic. I loved everything that she did. And so I was, like, super for her. And then for me to see her act the way that she acted was really disappointing. And
agreed, but here's what I try to remember. One, like, we're going to talk about the Fifi edit eventually, and I feel like she got a little bit of that. Two, she was bitter, obviously.
Who wouldn't be, though?
Right. You also have to think about how high pressure this is. The first ones that go home are just the weakest in the group. It doesn't mean that they're not fucking fantastic.
Right.
They just couldn't handle the pressure. Because if you look at some of those, like, Ben won that first challenge. That was not the best looking gown up there. It was just the best of the worst, right? It's about how you handle the pressure of that first day in the workroom, and then your second day when you're standing in your heels for 12 hours, listening to everybody critique everyone about everything. When you stand up there and you're on hour 3 of being told that you look like shit, and then you get told you're going home, you're gonna be a little bitter.
Yeah. This is true. I never thought of it that way. I thought of it more like, I'm fucking standing in heels for more than 6 hours and I'm not having a drink. I would be fucking pissed. Especially if you're tucked. Like, fuck that. I think Lagonda talked about it on one of the What's the Tea podcasts. And she was like, girl, I had not been tucked that long. And she, RuPaul was like, you've never been tucked? And then she was like, I have. I'm just usually drinking. That kind of pain for you to be in 6-7 hours tucked in heels. She goes, I wasn't ready for that. I was like, I wouldn't be either, bitch. So,
right.
But yeah, she actually got so much cyberbullying. Magnolia did. She had so much cyberbullying that she ultimately just...
She's done.
She's quit drag.
Yeah.
She just quit it completely.
Yeah.
Which is really disheartening, because I was really a big fan of
what
she was giving, and I was like, come on, girl. Like,
yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. Season 7.
Tempest du Jour.
Yeah.
She's such an interesting person, Tempest is, that I, like, wrote just a few notes for her, because you honestly, like, I highly encourage you guys to look at interviews she's done with Hey Queen TV and other interviews. She's an incredibly interesting person. She's been through so much bullshit in her life, and she's come, you know, she's overcome it. She has her kids, she has her family. She's fucking inspirational, this bitch is. Like, I can't get over it. She's from Arizona. She's one of the few queens who was eliminated first who is extremely popular in the drag circuit. Everybody fucking loves her. This is another queen like Penetration that isn't scared to try new things,
right,
even though she comes from a very old school kind of drag.
Yes.
when she came back for the reunion and she dressed up as the fucking Virgin Mary, basically, yes. I was fucking living. If you make fun of religion, even if it's my religion, and you do it fearlessly and you don't give a fuck, you're like automatically my fucking hero. Because there was a lot of controversy behind that. People were like criticizing her because it was something religious and it was taboo. And I was like, no, bitch, like she put on a fucking look and she served.
Right.
The fuck, like leave her alone. Her name, if you translate it, it directly translates to the storm of the day. Oh, I put here that her entrance was probably the only interest in history that ever made me laugh out loud uncontrollably.
With the baby.
Yeah, she goes, and then drops the fucking baby from between her legs. I fucking lost it. I thought that shit was so fucking funny.
Did you watch the first episode of season two of...
No, actually, I didn't.
So, Trixie and Katya are talking about what it's gonna be like 45 years from now and they're still hosting and filling in for them 45 years later is Mrs. Kasha Davis and Tempest Du Jour. Mrs. Kasha Davis was Trixie and they introduced themselves and they were like, I'm the one that's always ready for a cocktail, Trixie Mattel. And Tempest was Katya, and the way that, like, it was a perfect fit because I never really compared those two with the other two. Like, the fact that it just was so smooth, the way that Tempest was acting was totally Tempest, but is totally Katya.
Oh, really?
Like, you don't realize how kind of, like, out there Tempest is and how creative she is and funny that she is, like Katya, because Katya puts it out there.
Yeah.
You know Katya's crazy. Tempest doing it, I was like, that fit.
That's fucking genius.
That was so good.
I literally put that in notes that she's low-key a pusher.
Like, oh, yeah.
She pushes the envelope on drag.
Oh, yeah.
On a very low-key level, and I fucking appreciate it, because I'm like, bitch, I see you.
Yeah.
I see you over there, like, pushing the fucking envelope. So, yeah, I totally agree. That's fucking funny.
Fucking love her.
Season 8, this is another one that's a little weird, because the first eliminated queen for season 8 was Nasha Lopez, but then she was brought back. And then we have a double elimination right after that, where it's Layla and exclamation point, which was a little, okay, not a little, it was extremely underwhelming.
Yes.
That lip sync was, I'm gonna be totally honest. We've worked with Layla, not me directly, because I wasn't available for that show, but we as a group of queens have worked with Layla before. She's fucking hilarious.
She's hilarious, she is high energy, her lip sync is on point.
She's a horny bastard, too.
Yes. It's so weird to watch her in person and then watch her on the show.
And then Dax exclamation point. I have, like, honestly, I have equal amounts of respect for each one of them because they give totally different aesthetics. We've talked about Dax before, especially with the episode on cosplay.
Yeah.
With you and Eva. Would you agree with me if I said that the one who deserved to go home more than the other was Layla?
Yes. Okay. I would agree with that.
Okay, cool. I was about to say, we're about to get in an argument if you don't agree with me, but...
I mean, they both deserve to go home. They were both underwhelming.
Yes.
But if there was only one, it would have been Layla.
It would have been Layla, yeah. Well, because she fucking... I think there was desperate cries for help on stage when she was lip-syncing.
Yeah.
I think she was just... Again, we were talking about the kind of pressure that you're in when you're on this kind of show. And so I think that really ended up getting to her. Dax runway was really underwhelming. Like, it was just really put together the wrong way. And I think
it's just disappointing.
I think I had a conversation with Eva about Dax, actually, and I think we both agreed in the fact that we don't think Dax got a little comfortable, but we think Dax was saving her kind of cosplay or her best kind of drag for later in the season and wasn't, like, totally, like, overlooked the fact that she might get eliminated beforehand.
Right.
That sucks because you see her now and you see the kind of drag caliber that she's at and you're like, bitch, you're fucking serving.
Right.
Which is really, I mean, this is a testament to all the queens that have been eliminated first. Like, you just see the fact that they were on Drag Race. And they're at a drag caliber on Drag Race that's different than what they're doing now. Like, as the show is airing, their drag has already been elevated to, like, another fucking level. And I think that's what people forget, because people think this is going on live each week. And then we have cyberbullying, and we're like, you fucking suck, and da 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 da. And it's like, bitch, do you follow them?
Right.
Do you know what the fuck they're doing?
Right.
Do you know what they're doing for the community? Like, you're not doing shit besides stand behind a keyboard and talk shit.
Right.
All Stars season one was a little weird as well, because everything was a double elimination on that season. Right. Mimi on First and Pandora Box were the first to go in season one.
Yes.
I'm genuinely shocked that Mimi on First even made it on All Stars.
Why?
Because of the way that she acted on her season.
But if you look, why then was Tatiana brought back for season two? Why was Fifi brought back for season two?
I feel that's because they made it really far in the competition. Because Tatiana was in fourth place.
Yes.
And then Fifi was second or third runner-up. You never know in the way that's set up. But I think it's because they made it really far. So obviously they were serving a...
But they were bitches. Mimi was not even a bitch. She was just...
A crybaby.
Yeah, but she was also physical.
That's what I didn't like. You can be a verbal bitch all you want. I mean, you know me. I like a good bitch on reality television.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck the bitch, give it to me. But Mimi did not handle it that way. It was not just verbal. It was like physical aggression. She was crying the first episode. She's like, I don't want to be here. Like, it was just a little too much immaturity for me to be able to get on board with it.
To also remember, it's an edited reality show.
I mean, yeah, but...
There was also rumor that she was kind of asked last minute because Fifi was invited, but Fifi was in jail.
You're right. I do remember saying something about that. Actually, no. Fifi talked about it on Hey Queen TV.
Yeah.
If you guys look up YouTube on Hey Queen TV, they interview a lot of the Rue Girls, and you get a few inside stories on, like, what happens and stuff. And so Fifi actually... Was she traveling? I think she was traveling, right?
Yeah, she was supposed to go into, I think, Canada. And there was an outstanding warrant from, like, Texas over some eyeglasses, I think, or sunglasses that had been stolen. And she had been arrested at the border. So they brought in Mimi on First.
Do you think she deserved to be on there, though?
I think every single drag queen deserves a chance to try again.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is the first time you're on... You don't know the formula. You also don't know anybody. You think you know the formula because you've watched it, but you don't. They're going to change things up on you. You don't realize how much time you have or don't have for any certain thing, so you don't know how to work the system.
Right.
Every single queen should be allowed an opportunity to do something like All Stars, where they can perform better because they know the formula. Even though they're going to get a few wrenches thrown at them, like in All Stars 2, they know what they're doing. They know the girls, so they're not dealing with the diva attitudes. Like, they've already all worked together. So, yeah, I do think she deserved to be on there. And she had elevated her drag. She was painting differently. She'd lost a bunch of weight, which is not... saying that she's a better queen because of it, but it allowed her more opportunities to dress differently, try new things, and because of it, she had elevated herself. So yes, I do think she deserved it.
Okay. Personally. I mean, that's totally respectable, yeah.
Personally.
I was shocked when she got on.
I was too. Like, don't get me wrong. When you have Latrice walking through the door and Manila and Nina Flowers and Tammy Brown, like, you have all of these iconic names, and then it's Mimi, and you're like, what? Did I miss something?
Right. You're like, what the fuck? And then, like, Raven went fucking in on one of the Untucked episodes.
Yeah.
And that was one of the few moments that I was not for Raven. Because she didn't give a fuck. And she was talking mad shit. And I was like, at first I was like, yes. And then I was like, wait a minute. This is being really fucking negative now. Like, there's no resolving this at this point. I do feel like I think the thing that I was most disappointed about, though, is that I was, like, originally shocked that Mimi got on. And then when she got on and I started seeing what she was doing, I was like, okay, I can get on board with this a little bit more. Like, I can see...
I really liked her ideas for that photo shoot.
Exactly, yeah. I really liked the potential she was giving.
Right.
And I really do not like the way that Pandora acted upon it. And
Pandora had a grudge.
She did have...
From something she saw on TV.
Really, what happened?
Because she was not on Mimi's season. Mimi was the next season. Pandora saw it the way that she saw it with everybody else. Mimi got an edit, and that's what Pandora saw. Didn't know Mimi other than what she saw on television. So she had that grudge, and so Pandora gave up.
I did see another interview that was on Hey Queen TV, too, that gave Pandora's side of the story, and she admits that that's part of it, yeah. and that was a completely legitimate situation going on between them. But like from the first half of the episode to the second half of that episode, in the first half of the episode, that's what was going on. In the second half, she got really, really sick.
Right.
And they edited that out. And so anything that you saw, like all those resting bitch faces that you saw Pandora was giving as anything was going on, really was not going on as the rest of the situation was going on.
Right.
She was just like, I feel sick. I gotta walk.
Well, she also had mentioned that she had a talk with Mimi and was like, you know what? We are gonna do this. I want to go far. Like, this is my issue, not yours. Like, I'm judging you and it's something I need to get over. And she was just a little too late on it. Everything was already done. She didn't have a chance to redeem herself. And Mimi did the lip sync, and Pandora's a better lip syncer. So I think that also helped with their elimination.
Why do you think they decided to do Mimi instead of...
I don't know. It could have been a coin flip. It could have been like, okay, if we have to choose first, then I'm going to do it. But if we get to choose second, you're going to do it. Like, I don't... Who knows?
I think it was more of a Mimi being Mimi and being Mimi on first, and she wanted to be like, I don't want to redeem myself.
You were Mimi. I'm first eliminated from us.
That fucking sucks. All right. Well, we're going to move on to All Stars 2, which was Coco Montrese. I don't know. I feel like I'm going to talk mad shit because I don't think I really ever was on board with Coco.
Okay.
Season 4 or All Stars. I feel like half of me wasn't happy with the fact that she did a certain type of drag and even she wasn't completely like sold on it. I don't know if I'm making sense. I feel like she was almost too hesitant with everything on season 4 and she was all caught up in this whole rivalry against Alyssa. Because she made it far, but I'm wondering whether or not she made it far because of her drag caliber or because it was a better story for the season.
It's a good question, because she did lip sync 4 times.
Exactly. So I'm like, and she's a good lip syncer.
Oh, yeah.
She can fucking give it to you. She's been doing this shit for years. I don't know if I like her aesthetic, though.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah. I feel like she was a lot better on All Stars 2. The problem with All Stars 2 is it was... Nobody was ready for that fucking twist where it was like, I'm gonna scrapbook and you figure out who's gonna go home. I'm just gonna sit here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that made it very difficult because now you are playing best friend race. And you're doing your best not to, but you're gonna pick your friends.
Yeah.
And the hardest part for me, the only thing I didn't like about All Stars 2 is it was season 5, most of them, plus like here's a scattering of some other ones.
Of like Tatiana and Fifi.
Right.
And, like, I was like, ooh. Which is, I mean, I don't know. I don't really know if season 5 was that sickening, like the whole cast where it's like, we're gonna bring half the cast back. I'm like, Honestly, I would have been good if they would have brought back Alyssa and did not bring back Coco.
I think Coco deserved to be on there. I don't think Alyssa deserved to be on there.
Really?
Alyssa had not changed. Her face was identical. Her dresses were identical. And when she had something challenging, because they brought all of their clothes, it was all like, meh. That camera dress, I hated it. And then having to see it again, I was like, please stop. It was not a transformation dress. You look like a mushroom. Not cute. I don't think she deserved it. She didn't...
I told you.
Nothing had changed from when she was on to going to World of Wonder with Alyssa's Secret and doing her dance thing. But she had not changed at all.
I disagree with you, though, because you can see it in her face. I feel like if you look at the way that she painted, the way she presented herself on All Stars, it was a lot more... I mean, she was already polished to begin with.
Right.
But it was a lot more polished, it was a lot more confident, and it wasn't so much of like, I'm about to stop the fucking runway because I'm a fucking fierce bitch. It's more like, I'm gonna stop the runway and yeah, I'm kind of funny because I recently discovered that I'm kind of amusing. Like, it was a different aesthetic at that
point. Yeah, alright.
You know?
I'll let you know,
but...
I've never been a big fan of Alyssa.
I don't think we've ever disagreed on something like this. I'm kind of shocked. I'm like, how the fuck would you not want Alyssa on? I'm so...
I just, she just kind of bores me. And I was getting annoyed every time she talked. I'm going to get up in this gig. I was like, please stop talking.
You know what? I'm going to agree with you on that. It was a little much.
She was producing herself a lot more than when she did on the first time she was on. Because she knew how to do it. That's the other thing with All Stars is because you know, you should know how to produce yourself better. They will basically tell you, here's the storyline we're giving you. Versus the first time you're on, you just go in and you say whatever. And I don't know if they do or not, like on All Stars. But you know how to work the storyline a little bit better, unless you're Fifi O'Hara. But you know when to be quiet. You know when to talk and what to say.
Or at least you have a better idea.
Yeah.
Like a better like guideline of what you can work with. I really want to bring some of these queens back. Like I really want to like have a competition where it's everybody who is eliminated first.
That would be fun.
I think that would be fucking dope. Like I think I would probably be like, because half, like as you've noticed, it's almost weird that most of these people that are eliminated first, I'm a really big fan of. Like I'm super like, the show didn't do them justice, like we could have seen more of them. Right? Does that
That's
not work?
A good hashtag of the week.
Hashtag bring back my girls.
I think it would be fun. I think there are two sides to that coin. I would like to see a season where it's all the first eliminated. Mm-hmm. And that would mean Nicole, not Shangela. That would mean Dax and Layla, not Nayshia, because Nayshia did get to go and do it again.
Yes, exactly.
But I would also love an All-Stars of just the winners. And who is the queen of the queens?
That would be so fucking... Do you realize that fucking social media would be set on fucking fire over that shit? You realize there would be actual fucking riots over that shit? Like, gay people would fucking turn on each other for this.
But I'm talking, like, it would have to be BB. You would need Chad, Alaska, everybody, whoever wins season 9. Mm-hmm. Like, we've got, what is that, 11 winners.
Is it 11?
9. Yes. I'll start one or two. Well, right now, that would be 12 for the first eliminated, because there were two with Dax and Layla. Mm-hmm. So we have that. So that could be 13, depending on who is from season 10. Well, I guess that would be 14 then, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, we still don't know if they're eliminating anybody this season, because that's... Right. That introduction of not eliminating anyone was very vague.
Right.
They did that shit on purpose, and you know, fucking know it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm fucking annoyed about it, but whatever, you know?
We'll find out on the runway.
All right, I think I need a break.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this sponsor break.
Sharing the things you love comes naturally. Sharing your love of Unique is not only fun, but also rewarding. Introduce your friends to their new favorite cosmetics by hosting your own virtual party and earn a little something extra for your generosity. There's just too much to love about Unique to keep it all to yourself. Let the party begin. Visit LaceyDrawers.com and click on Unique by Renee.
And we are back, so we're going to finish up with our last segment, Things I Hate.
Things I Hate.
So, Lexi, today we're going to talk about unprofessionalism.
Just in general, drag community especially, but in general, any kind of unprofessionalism is fucking stupid and uncalled for.
Here's the thing, like, drag is supposed to be fun.
Right.
But there is somebody who's putting together a show. They have contacted a bar, they have worked something out. You need to show respect for them and show up before they tell you when you're supposed to be there. You need to have your shit ready to go.
I think there's also plenty to be said, though, because we've all been in a shitty situation. Shit happens. Sometimes your fucking car broke down right before a show or something like, but I think what really gets to me when situations like that happen is if you're not fucking communicating, that is even more unprofessional.
Right.
Hey, I'm gonna be late for the show. This and this happened. Like, if you wanna run the show the same way and I'll just do one number, that's fine. Like, having that kind of communication and trying to work with the person that booked you for the show is gonna show that you are a professional and
right.
that you can get booked.
And do not overbook yourself. Don't agree to one thing. Stay for however long is convenient for you and then go somewhere else. If you're gonna book yourself for a second, make sure that there's enough time for you to change and travel.
But here's what we're saying is, if that's the case, make sure that you are doing your best to try to accommodate both shows.
And communicate that that's happening.
Exactly.
Just remember that there are 200 other drag queens in this tiny little town who will gladly take your spot for less money.
Exactly.
So, be professional.
Oh, wait, with the airing of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 9, we are going to be starting Ultimate Queen, so you should come and check us out. Come see me, come see everyone else. Even if I'm not your favorite queen, please come out and support. We live for that. If you guys come and totally say hi to us, even if you guys don't tip us, we know, we talked about this, right? Even if you don't tip us, let's say you're broke or whatever, or you just went out for a drink and didn't realize there was a show, come up to a queen and say how much you appreciate it. Like, we want to know that we're doing something right. And so if you come see us in a competition like this, it would mean the world to us, so.
Yeah, Ultimate Queen starts on Friday. At what time?
Friday, March 24th. Because we have a viewing party for RuPaul's Drag Race. I think, I may be mistaken on this, but I think that starts at 8, and then that's an hour, so we would be starting at 9.
All right, so 8 o'clock at Trax. Ultimate Queen starting March 24th, 2017. Lexi, where can we find you on the interwebs?
Lexi Diamond at Facebook.com and also Lexi Diamond 93 on Instagram.
And do you have any upcoming shows?
I do have a show up at Fort Collins that's going to be like a Zodiac show, so I'm really excited for that because you know how I'm obsessed with Zodiac. So that's going to be up in Fort Collins at Scrumpy's on March 25th, right after the competition, that Saturday. So you guys should totally check me out because I think you guys have a lot of fun.
Yay! And you can find all of my contact information on my website, LaceyJorris.com. I also do have a show this Saturday as well at Blush and Blue. And we are doing Hamilton. So make sure you come out and check that out. That's a free show. We're not charging a cover fee for that one because I don't want to pay the royalties on Hamilton. So come out and check out some of your favorite local queens. If they are a part of the Joris family, then they're in this show. All right. Have a good day, everybody. Lexi, are you going to hang up first? Or?
You should hang up first.
No, I hang up first every single week.
Well, fine. I'll hang up.
With the Step It Up March customer kudos, the more you get, the more we give. And with the launch of our newest products, how can you resist? Whether you're making a $75, $125, or $175 purchase, you'll be rewarded with phenomenal free gifts. Visit LaceyJorris.com and click on Unique by Renee. March customer kudos run until March 31st, 2017. While supplies last, some exclusions apply.